I'm sure this book and the story of Ruth and all its happenings are familiar to all of us, or most of us anyway. It has been described as one of those romantical stories that has a sad beginning but brings a happy ending. Would make a good Hollywood film, probably. But there is much more than just the physical to be seen in these passages. Some has even passed the comment that this little book shouldn't actually be in Scripture. And seemingly because the name of God is hardly mentioned within it. But although the name of God is hardly mentioned and is mentioned, and where it is mentioned with great power and great might. But this little book, I believe, sits exactly where it should. Just like Matthew Henry has put it, it chronologically fits right into the very place that it sits. That's why we started our reading over there in the book of Judges. Because it is right in the period of Judges. Following the book of Ruth is the book of 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel and so on. So historically, it sits just in the very place and position. And sitting in that place, it opens a window in the time of the judges and shows us a particular happening that takes forth in that place. Now, as we want to just look at this family this morning, simply look at decisions they make, ways that they go. And as we look at this family, this could be any family. Not just in before the time of Christ. This could be a family at the time of Christ, after the time of Christ. This could be a family today. And I wonder now as we're speaking, will this be a family that we're talking to in Garva today as well? So we want to give heed to the scriptures that are set here. You will see how this time is described in the verse 25 of Judges 21. There's no king in Israel. And you get these words: every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That's not just concerning Elkanah or Elimelech and Naomi here, but it also is concerning most of the households within the book of Judges. And as we think of that, surely that even takes us to Northern Ireland today, and even to Britain, whereby there's families today, and the Bible is a forgotten book. It's set to the side, and every man is using his own reasoning. I think the last time I was here, it was before COVID. I'm nearly scared even to mention the word. I'm so tired of it. But even since COVID-19, we came into March 2020, I think it was, and everything started. And even from that time, it seems to be even within our churches that we've forgotten who God is. I believe in the doctrines of grace. I believe we should spend much time learning. And whenever you use the word doctrine, people get all worried and afraid. In fact, many says we don't need that today, just preach the gospel. Well, I don't understand that, for I don't understand how you can preach the gospel, because doctrine just simply means teaching, sound teaching. And here's the problem right before us here in the book of Ruth. We have a family, and yes, we have families, who has lost a sight of the truth about the Word of God and about God itself. So without any more ado, let us come just to think of this family. And the very first thing I want to say, as we look at this family, we want to look at this family making a decision. Now that's, let me seem crazy thought, For that's something you and I do every day. The minute you awake, I know for me anyway, I need the alarm or I don't awake. But the minute that alarm goes, I've got to start making decisions. To get out of bed. To get dressed. To have my breakfast. To set out to the workplace. To do whatever needs to be done. And you're doing the same. You're making those decisions. But are you aware how you make those decisions? And there's some young ones here today, but there's some who'll understand maybe what I've got to say, for I've noticed it. As you get older, getting out of bed's no easier. And you start to appreciate somewhat of health. Do you take time to thank the Lord for that? Do you realize the very breath, the very next breath that you draw in, it's from the Lord? You see, this takes in the thought and the reality of the sovereignty of God. And here's a family, and we're going to even consider there'll be other families in Israel. And they have forgotten who God is. Now, in this congregation today, if there's some like that, the Bible is a close book. You bring it in the Sabbath day. Every other day, it's a close book. Because it became a close book for this family here. You will notice where they live. Bethlehem. Now surely that's a name that automatically will come to your mind. For it's the birthplace of the Lord Jesus. And here's this was these people. In fact, it is described as Bethlehem, Judah. Bethlehem means house of bread and Judah means praise. So this was the place of plenty. This is the place that there was always food available and it's a place where praise was made. But it's took a change. Because the very first thing we read as we open in the first chapter of Ruth, it says, "Now it came to pass in the days of the judges ruled." And then we read these words, "There was a famine in the land." Now, whenever it's talking about the famine in the land, yet there was a scarcity of food. Now, why it was or what time it was, because we do read of the invasions of other lands or other nations that came in upon Judah, and they trampled the food, and sometimes they stole it. They stole the cattle, the sheep. And that created a famine. It created a scarcity. Now, whether the famine was because of that or then because the Lord had just brought a drought, we're not really told. But as you read through the book of Judges, you will find that both situations happens. But here there was a famine in the land. Now, what I want to do now is to think of the background or the mindset, could I put it that way, the mindset of this family as they're making a decision because of the famine that has come. They can very simply even just apply it to ourselves here. There's a famine in our land spiritually. Oh, there's plenty of food. Well, a little while ago, with Brexit and all the rest of it, there was all the scares of all of the things that are coming. But how do you face those things? The political situation of our land, COVID-19, all of these circumstances, they are realities that face us today. Now, what's your mindset? How do you deal with these circumstances? Well, then, let's look at this family, how they dealt with it. Yet, although we're looking back the guts of 4,000 years thereabouts, but the thinking and the reasoning is not much different. And the first of all, they come to a decision. We want to leave. Now it says there that they wanted to leave and they were going to sojourn in the country of Moab. Just in passing, they're going to be traveling about 2,000 miles. So they have made a decision in their minds, we want to get well rid of this place. All of the influence of gospel and of God And Israel, they wanted to leave it all behind. I wonder if there's anybody like that here. You've had enough of it. It ties you down. You need your freedom. You need your own ways. And here's a family. They made up their mind. They want to go. They want to get well away from this time. Now, I just want to point something out to you. Yep, there was a famine. Look at verse 21. Say, here the Holy Ghost has made this. And I think we should note this in verse. You see the opening words? These are the words of Naomi. I went out full. Do you see those words? Yep, there's a famine in the land. But Naomi, there was a sufficiency in the land. Their needs was being supplied. Yet they maybe hadn't all the dainties that they once had. But she certainly felt she was better off at that time than she is right now as she's approaching. But here they are. They don't see that. Hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it? But they don't see any of those things. Right now, everything. It's dead. It's gone. We need something new. We need some new life brought into the family. I think there's other things that we can notice here as well. Even the difference of the attitude of mindsets of this people. Now, we're given the name. The Holy Ghost has put the names of Elimelech and Naomi. Now, in Israel, parents gave the children their names as a meaning. And probably around the circumstances they lived in at the time. The name Elimelech means, my God is king. The name Naomi means delightful, pleasant, or beautiful. So here, as they've been named, they've been given these names. Now, why am I saying this? Because whenever we come to look at the names of their children, you will see a different mindset. Malion means sickness. Now, whether this young boy has been named this because he's been born into a family of sickness. I have a mindset that Elimelech was a man who hadn't good health. And here, as these children are born, they have so lost focus that all they can see is the situations and circumstances that stands before them. God doesn't come into the equation with them whatsoever. They name the second boy Chalion, which means pining or discontented or bitterness. So now can you start to understand that the Holy Ghost here now is letting us see into the mind of this family as they're making a decision, and this is the type of thinking, this is the type of heart, this is the type of mind that these people have whenever they come to make a decision. And God is neither in the heart nor in the mind. Now you and I need to stop and think there now. What state of heart and mind is you and me in today? I'll include me in it. Just because a man stands at the back of a pulpit doesn't make him bigger or better than anybody else. Doesn't mean to say he hasn't battled with sins and temptations. Doesn't mean to say he doesn't make mistakes. Your minister needs your prayers, for the devil hates him. And he wants to hit his mind and his heart. I think there's nobody has more temptations and battles than what the minister would have. But here we find this family, that this is the state of heart and mind that they're in. And all well might be said, and even of this people, as Psalm 4:4 says, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. They fail to do that. Is that a daily occurrence for you and me? At the beginning of the day or at the end of the day or whatever, or in the middle of the day, But there's going to be that time that we will take time to think of our own spiritual standing before God. Because you know what happens? If you don't watch the heart, and you believe you me, it doesn't matter what titles you have, whether it's minister, elder, or Sunday school teacher, or youth worker, or what, doesn't matter the title. We still battle with the devil and the world of the flesh. You battle with the devil and the world of the flesh every single day, and you need to be in mind of those things. And that we take time to commune with our own hearts and our souls, and we be still in the light of the Word of God and see what the Word of God has to say to us. And we take that time to talk even to the Lord in the attitude of prayer. But here they are, in this mindset, in this state of heart, up they go with their two sons, and they set off for the land of Moab. And as they sojourn there, things don't get any better. Because here they are getting further and further away from God. The Word of God has become less and less prevalent. Can I say to you, young people, you will notice in this family, as God is put out and as the Word of God is set to one side, their partners become insignificant. It doesn't matter. You remember Abraham. He didn't want his son to be married to any of the Canaanite ones that was around him. That's why he sent them back to his wife's household to find a wife for him. But there's a carelessness now here in this family. And as they come into the land of Moab, thing takes a decline. You read, Elkanah dies. Now I'm in the mindset that the Holy Ghost has said it here in order that the father dies and then the sons, they get themselves wives. They're Moabite Esses. And they're setting up their families, and you will see, we'll just look at it in a wee minute or two about these two girls, but this marriage union takes place. And you see why also the name of sickness and of pining, discontentment. But I think it was always there. And there seems to be sickness then that has carried on and it's hit the boys, for now they die. And they're buried there in Moab. And Naomi is vexed, deeply vexed. But all because she forgot that there's a sovereign God that's always ruling. And although yet there was a famine in the land, and although things didn't look the fairest or the brightest, God was still in control. And she forgot that. You know, I think many of God's people has even forgotten today of the day and age that we live in. That politics has taken its downturn, and where do you turn to? And all of the situations and all of the circumstances, and we listen to the news and we get all downhearted and we get all filled with the emotions of the state that we see before us. In the very 10 Downing Street, you can have the biggest joker and liar, but God is still in control. And the very circumstances and situations that's come around as God has allowed these things, God is still in control. Just was thinking this morning, not the time to turn to it, but in Genesis 45, you will read there of the story of Joseph. He's been down in Egypt. He's now been made prince and his brothers have come. And in Genesis 45, this is the place that he's revealing himself unto his brothers. And you'll remember, you see, he got this. That the selling, the thrown into the pit, and the been brought down into Potiphar's house, been thrown into the prison, been falsely accused, all of those things. He says, God has taken me this way. He realized that God was in control of all of those things. And you know, maybe you and I, we can hit hard times, bad times, dark times, low times, whatever you want to call them. But we need to remember, God is still in control. Because he's a sovereign God. And that's why we need to always be reminding ourselves of our place and of our standing, even before God. But here, because of all of the circumstances and situations again, the loss of a husband, the loss of children, Naomi decides another move. Orpah decides in another move. Ruth decides in another move. Now, what brought about this move? Because you will read now, Naomi has got into a terrible place. In verse 20, you see there, and she said, call me not Naomi, but call me Mara. Now look at this. Remember I said before, the name of God mentioned. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. You see, she now comes to the place, you realize God has been dealing with her. In all of the situations and circumstances, she has come to this truth. And not all because, the Bible tells us, for she had heard that the Lord had visited again Bethlehem, Judah. Away in Moab, 2,000 miles away, she heard. She got word. The word of God came home to her mind and her heart. And regardless of the circumstances and state maybe you're in today, the word of God's coming home. Are you hearing God today? Not just a man standing in the pulpit, but the truth of God. Is the truth of God grasping your mind? Is the truth of God grasping your heart? Maybe you're here and you're not saved. And you just seem to think you can put it away. You know, that's something for the future. And you've been saying that for how many years? And the years have passed by and the years have passed by. And you and I both are getting closer to the grave. And no man knows the day nor the hour. If God called you now, you remember you're called to stand before the judge of all the world. How will you answer? In the mindset and the heart state that you are in at this very moment, how will you answer? Child of God, it's the same for you and I. How will we answer for the way that we have lived and conducted ourselves? Because every man, that's what the Bible says, this man included, every man shall give an account unto God for the way they thought, for what they loved, for how they reacted. And here is Naomi, that these truths are coming even upon her. And as they decide to leave, now, although there's a change of heart in Naomi, and she realizes that God has dealt with her, she's still in a very low place. In fact, such is the low place that she is in that she will even discourage her two daughters-in-laws for coming back. And you know, again, she had forgot the word of God. I won't take time to just to go down through all of the passages. She has forgot Deuteronomy 25, for example. Deuteronomy 25 is way back in the times of Moses, God set up a law whereby if a man died, that inheritance would stay within the family because his brother then was to take his wife and establish an heir for his inheritance. The firstborn then of that wife would inherit the dead brother's estate. Any other of the family then could inherit the other estate. But God had set this forth as a law. But Naomi hadn't forgotten it completely. Because you will notice there what she says as she's telling these daughters-in-laws to return. She does say, will you wait till I have another son? Could you wait till I marry again? And she realizes the preposterity of that. But God also had put within that law the law of the Redeemer. Of course, that was in the place of Boaz, which will maybe come to later. Maybe we'll carry on with this tonight again in the will of the Lord. But she had forgot these things. She had forgot the writings of Leviticus 25. There where it says, even concerning the land, it was redeemable. After 7 years, if somebody had to sell their land or rent it out to try to get money for some other situation, at the 7th year, it was redeemed, it was brought back again into the inheritance. But Naomi has forgot those things. Have you forgot the truth of the gospel? Have you forgotten why the Son of God left the glories of heaven and come down into this world? Have you forgot that the very birth of Jesus Christ is just as important as his death? Of course, if he never was born, then he couldn't die. But his living was as important as his dying. Because not only did he live for me, he lived as me. Not only did he die for me or for you, he died as me. He took my place. That's this Saviour. That's the wonder, the truth of this gospel, that this Christ lived in perfection as me. Something I could not do. He was the second Adam. He took the judgment of God as me. And that's why there's no judgment for me. Because I'm looking to Christ. I'm resting on the life that he lived. Think of the statement of one of old. A life I did not live, a death I did not die, another's life, another's death. I stake my whole eternity. Is that your testimony today? Are you resting in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he of any value to you? Of any virtue? Or are you like Naomi and has forgotten, set them aside for so long, more or less just pressed them out of your mind? Oh, may the reality and the truth of these things even come before us again today. But just in closing, can I come to the two girls that are mentioned here? Because you see, they decided they were going to go with Ruth. Because they also had heard. Whenever you read the account of Ruth, she said she wanted to die where she died. Her people to be her people. Naomi's God to be her God. And you will read those words concerning Orpah as she went back. And Naomi says that she returned in the verse 14. She'd gone back unto her people and unto her gods. You see, here's a day of decision for these two girls. And this is a morning of decision for you here today. There's the way of the cross, or there's the way of the world. Orpah, she went back to her people and her gods. She took the world. Ruth, she chose Christ. And today, what are you choosing? What way are you going? Here we are today in the place of decision. Joel 3:14, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Cause those things come before us. Many decisions. Yet when we have a pandemic, and it's very real, we should never despise that. In fact, when you read of those things, they're normally God sent. And God sends those things as a judgment upon his people and his church. I believe the day and age we live in is for the church. It's time to awaken. It's time to see that God again is dealing with his people. Yeah, and we might say like Naomi, very bitterly. Because there's some people have lost lives. And you know as well as I do, and there's some that are not with us today. And it's hit the Christian home as well as non-Christian. Maybe the church more so. And God's dealing bitterly with his people, that we might change our mindset and our hearts to view again the ways of our God. Tell me, how will we view life in the future days? With all the upheaval, yep, and our land in a muddle, and it seems to be we have nothing but a pack of jokers running our country. But do we see God still in control? God has allowed us to come this way. For he wants us to rest him. We read there in the book of Judges that there was no king in Israel. And we come, whenever you come into 1 Samuel, we find this people desiring a king. What do they say? Why do they want a king? That we might be like the other nations. Men and women, do you want to be like the world? Or will we rest upon the King of Glory, the Lord Jesus Christ himself? The will of the Lord, maybe we'll come back to even see the return of the family and God's grace. Because mercy and grace is in this passage too. Because as they come back, God immediately puts his grace and his mercy upon Naomi and upon Ruth, fulfilling all the types of what Christ has fulfilled for his church.